From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The fate of the once high-flying energy company Enron is in the hands of a bankruptcy court judge. Yesterday, the company sought Chapter 11 protection, and today the Houston-based company announced it would lay off 4,000 people. Critics say part of the blame for the Enron meltdown lies with the auditing firm Anderson, formerly known as Arthur Anderson, the firm that signed off on Enron's suspicious accounting practices. Federal regulators are now investigating Anderson's role in the affair. NPR's Jim Ciroli reports.
Last month, Enron acknowledged that over a four-and-a-half-year period, it overstated its earnings by a total of $586 million. U.S. investigators are said to be focusing on the complex relationship between Enron and some limited partnerships that reportedly helped it hide the amount of debt it had taken on. Officials are also looking into the role played in all this by the giant accounting firm Anderson. Arthur Levitt is the former chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
The obvious questions that have to be asked is, what did they know and when did they know it? And did they do all in their power to make disclosure as comprehensive as it should have been?
Even before the Enron meltdown, Anderson was having an especially bad year. It had to pay $7 million to settle an SEC investigation into fraud in its audit of the company Waste Management. And it also was the auditor of another prominent company to face SEC scrutiny, Sunbeam. Just how much Anderson knew about what was going on at Enron is unclear. Paul Brown, who chairs the accounting department at NYU's Stern School of Business, says given the highly complex nature of Enron's dealings, it's at least plausible that auditors simply missed what was happening.
An auditor at this point, when they're looking at a company, really has to do a lot of sampling of transactions. They do not do a audit that would lead to looking at every transaction, every activity that the company enters into. And as a result, they can sometimes miss things during the course of the audit.
But Brown also says the nature of Enron's partnerships should have been a red flag for the auditors, alerting them to look much more carefully at what was going on. Many critics are much more scathing in their remarks. Attorney Melvin Weiss, who filed one of several shareholder lawsuits naming Anderson as a defendant along with Enron, says it's inconceivable that a major accounting firm could have missed what was going on.
This is not just one item on a balance sheet or one item of income that was falsely recognized. It was a continuum of financial misreporting over a period of, let's say, at least 16 reporting periods if you count each quarter as a reporting period. That is stunning.
The Enron case is already giving new life to one of the most frequently voiced criticisms of the auditing business. Michigan Congressman John Dingell, ranking member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, notes that major accounting firms are allowed to seek consulting work from the same companies they audit.
Arthur Anderson's principal activity in this matter appears to have been to collect $1 million a week or $52 million a year. That money was supposedly in compensation for doing two things. One, doing the accounting and auditing. Two, serving as consultant to Enron. A substantial, potential, and apparent conflict of interest.
Whether Anderson's consulting work with Enron compromised the audits it performed is likely to figure prominently in the SEC investigation. As for Anderson, it has agreed to submit to a review of its auditing practices by a competing firm. The company said last week it was confident that its system of quality is strong. Jim Ciroli, NPR News, New York.